Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Whoa, thanks, Greg. What's up, guys? How's my volume? Is it good? If you were here Thursday night, will you raise your hand? It's because of you guys that we had more than 50 youth feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. Yeah. Because of you, I just want to say thank you. That it means so much to all of us. And also, in lieu of Father's Day, I've got a dad joke for you guys. I tried a bunch of these out this morning, and Heather was like, "No, you can't say that one. No, you can't say that one." So I'm going to go with this one, and let's hope I don't get in trouble. A priest, a minister, and a rabbit walk into a bar. But it's cool because there's food there, so you know they eat there too. The bartender says to the rabbit, "What can I get you to drink?" And the rabbit says, "I don't know, I'm just here because of a typo." All right, happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Oh man, can we pray real quick? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. I acknowledge your presence, Holy Spirit. I thank you because you are good. Jesus, I thank you for what you've given me to say today. I thank you, God, that it is important. I thank you, God, that we're moving into something new. Something that you've guided us to, and we do it gladly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Can you bring up a picture up there? Look at this. Would you look at those? So I don't have a message today about Father's Day. And it's not about Easter either, but look at this. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I look at this picture and I think, man, I had brown hair. Guys' calves were smaller. They weren't as developed as they are now. And it's just, I know, right? So, but I look and I see this this guy here on the right, and I'm like, I remember being so nervous at this picture. I remember being full of fear. I remember having like butterflies in my stomach. And it wasn't because we're taking pictures with the Easter Bunny, because that's not the real Easter Bunny. That's a dude in a suit. There's some subterfuge trickery going on.
There's children in the room.
This wasn't the real one.
Oh, okay.
No, the real one was somewhere else. Yeah, this is a guy. Anyways. So this was activation day. So what we had done up until this point is Guy, the Mowers, I think some other families too, some other couples, we went to this thing called Revival School, or School of Revival. And I grew up Assemblies of God. And so anytime somebody said, "Hey, we're having a revival," what that meant to me was that there was a preacher coming. He was going to preach an amazing word for 3 days. And our worship was going to be off the chain. And it was going to be, that was what revival was. But come to find out, that's not what revival looks like. Revival isn't right here. Now, that is a byproduct of revival, is amazing worship, is anointed words. So, School of Revival, we learn this, that revival is out there.
Yeah.
And that we have a part to play in it. We don't have to beg God anymore to send revival.
Yeah.
You know, because he's already sent it. It's right here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But this was activation day. And so we go to the mall, me and Guy Medeiros. And our goal is to, we're going to go out and we're going to tell everybody about Jesus. Everyone that we talk to, we're going to either pray for them, or we're going to, you know, share the gospel with them. And I was super nervous, man. And so we get there and we walk through the door, and I look and I see this line for the Easter Bunny. And I think, got a great idea. Hey, Guy, let's go take our picture with the Easter Bunny. Wouldn't that be funny? But what I'm doing is procrastinating, you know? And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to stand in line as long as I can. That way I don't have to do the thing that makes me scared. that makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And so we get in line, and then what's funny is if the line was so long, it was because it hadn't started yet. And as soon as Guy and I, two middle-aged dudes standing in line with a bunch of moms and toddlers, as soon as we jump in, it's like the line boom, boom, boom goes. We're taking pictures, boom, it's over with, and we're done. And then it's time to go. It's time to start the thing. And so I keep saying I was nervous. If Guy was nervous, he was hiding it very well. My man has zero fear. He's like, all right, let's go. We're gonna go preach the gospel. And the very first thing that we do is we look over and we see like a Dillard's or something like that, and he's like, there's a lady, perfume, go. And I'm like, okay. And so we go in, and he immediately walks up to the perfume counter, and she's helping somebody else. She's helping another customer. And so he's like being real nonchalant. He's grabbing some Valentino and some Marc Jacobs and just, you know, and I'm like, I'm in the coat rack, and I'm like, what's he getting? And the place is starting to smell like daisies and success. And it's beautiful. And all of a sudden, the lady comes over and can I help you? And then he opens up with, we just want to pray for you. And we want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus. And she was receptive. And so this fear that I had built up that, oh my gosh, it was unfounded. And she let us pray for her. She received a prophetic word from Guy. And it was awesome. And then so we were like, yeah, this is great. We're feeling good on this. And so we decide we're going to just keep on doing the thing. And we just move around. We go to the food court. The Holy Spirit points out this family to him, and he goes, and I'm like, yes. And they're being prayed for, and they're like, they are followers of Jesus already, and it's just blessing them. And then we find some more people. We stopped at this one store. You know the store in there with all the real cool stores? The beer store is what I call it. And it's got the mugs and stuff. And I love it for the glassware. And so we go in, and she's super excited to see us. And she's like, hey, hi, can I help you? Smile. And Guy's like, hi, we want to talk to you. We just want to pray for you. And she goes, okay. And then she starts walking up and down the bar, you know, or like the thing. And Guy's praying for her, but he's with her too. And he's like, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Sandra or whatever her name is. And I'm just standing there. And every time she comes by me, and I'm like, in Jesus' name. People, you know what I mean? And so he's doing all the work, and I'm just catching her on the thing. And she wasn't as receptive. And so then we decided, you know what, let's divide and conquer. And so we go our own separate ways. And I start getting no after no after no thank you over and over and over. And I start to feel a little bit discouraged. And so I go down to the food court, and I just kind of fall down at this, not fall down, but I sit down at this table, and there's this man sitting there, this guy, but a little bit younger than me. And he says, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, it's going okay. And he's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just going around praying for people, telling people about Jesus. And he said, thank God you're here. And so he tells me about this story about what's going on in his life, and that he needed this recommitting to Jesus, and he needed to hear this good news. And so we prayed, and it was amazing. And so I'm riding that victory, and a guy and I meet back upstairs on the top, second floor, and we're like sharing the things that we did, and it's awesome. And we look over, and this is my favorite one of the whole night, or the whole day. We look over, and we see this older gentleman sitting on these three massage chairs. You know the chairs I'm talking about? Like, it's where husbands and boyfriends sit when their wives are shopping, you know? Like, sometimes I'll go there, and I'm like, I'm gonna sit here, and Heather's like, you want some quarters? And I'm like, no, babe, I don't want to vibrate. I just want to sit here. And you looked, and it's shiny. It's so shiny with people grease, and you don't even care. You know what I mean? I know, it's like straight up. You just, yes. Thank you, Jesus, for rest. Rest is holy. Thank you, Jesus. And anyway, so this guy's sitting there, and so we're like, yeah, let's go, man. Let's do it. And so me and Guy walk up to him. The guy's like, hi, sir, how you doing? My name's Guy. This is my very best friend in the whole wide world, Stephen Newton. And we're telling people about Jesus, and we like to pray for you. And he goes, all right. And he's like, well, do you mind if we pray for you? And he's like, well, I guess I can't stop you. And I was like, that's a yes. I receive that as a yes. And guy says to him, well, what's your name? And he says, why do you need to know my name? And guy's like, it was so funny. I'm like chuckling inside. And guy's like, well, I guess we'll just pray a general prayer for you. And he said, well, you better hurry up. My wife's coming. And so we do. We prayed for him. And his wife showed up, and they got prayed for. You know? Yeah. Like, nobody arrested us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody kidnapped us and threw us in jail. Some people said no. Some people said, I'd rather you not. Right before we left, I looked over and I saw this lady walking with a cane and limping. And I thought, I'm about to see a miracle today, guys. For real. I was like, I knew in my heart that Jesus was about to heal her and she was about to be transformed at the same time. And so I'd go up to her and I said, excuse me, ma'am. Might not explain everything. My name's Stephen. I want to pray for you. I believe that Jesus is going to heal you today. And she said, huh? And I was like, oh man, we're like, we're right here. It's like internally, I'm like, and I'm also going to pray for your hearing because there's no way, anyway. So, and so I said, I repeated it a little bit louder, closer to her ear. And she said, oh no, thank you. And I'm like, okay. But she said, thank you so much for coming and talking to me because younger people don't talk to me anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, first of all, thank you for calling me younger. And I really appreciate that. Here's the thing, guys. Nobody arrested us. Now, what if I were to do that same thing in like Afghanistan or something, or China, hand out Bibles? I would be arrested, or worse, right? They just said no. What happens if I were to do this, say like Aldi on Highway K, tell somebody my testimony? Maybe they'd say no. Maybe they'd receive Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? But nothing bad would happen to me. I think what happens a lot of times, I think there's this temptation that we have as Christians, and it's not just us, I think it's every generation, to receive the gospel and just hold it. To receive the gospel, like, okay, good, I'm set free, I'm redeemed, I'm no longer a slave. Now I'm just going to hang out right here because this is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we do just only half of it. And when we only do just that, we diminish the power of the gospel. Because the gospel is meant to be received, right? We know this, and then shared and given to the world. Jesus talks about this over and over. We've been unpacking the parables at youth, and one of my favorites is the Good Samaritan, right? You guys know the story. A Jewish traveler, beat up, stripped, all of his money taken. The high priest and the Levite see him, and they walk way far on the other side. The Samaritan sees him, and he helps him. It's compassion. He's driven by compassion to show mercy to him. And mercy is a love that is costly. Right? A love that costs something. And so he shows him this mercy. He's the one who asked the correct question. The other two guys are like, what would happen to me if I helped him? The Samaritan asked, what would happen to him if I didn't? So this is the heart that Jesus has called us to have. We have been called to share the gospel. We have been called to be outward facing and go and do the thing. He has called us to do this. Jesus Christ himself has called us. Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the Great Commission. This is what he's called us to do. He's saying go. Jesus is telling us, telling the disciples and us to go share the gospel and make disciples.
Yes.
That's what we're to do.
Yeah. Amen.
So I know that a lot of people would say, yeah, but Stephen, I'm not an evangelist. And I'm like, I'm not a prophet, but I can still prophesy.
Amen.
You know, I'm not a teacher, but I can still teach.
Yeah.
You know, right. Just because you don't occupy the five fold ministry office of evangelist doesn't mean you can't go and share the gospel. You're called to do it. There's also this one too. I've heard this one in my own mind. Yeah, but you got a little bit of a lisp when you talk, you know? So you might sound, you know, they might not think that you know what you're talking about. Here's another one. You're not good talking with people. You don't know your Bible well enough. What if they ask a question and you don't have the answer to it? Right? I'm gonna say something that might be offensive. Are you ready? Any reason that you have that you do not share the gospel with every single person you meet every day is a lie. Any reason that you have that you don't share the gospel every single day with somebody is a lie. Now look, I'm not saying that you're a liar. I'm not saying that I'm a liar. But your enemy only speaks in lies. His native tongue is deceit. And he's going to do everything he can to shut your mouth. Shut your tiny little mouth. Zootopia. To shut your mouth and to shut people's ears from receiving the gospel. Do you know why? He's terrified. Let's get into it. I'm going to show you. He is terrified. We bring up Psalm 82, verse 1. God has taken his place in the divine council in the midst of the gods. He holds judgment. So here's the scene here. Yahweh is sitting in his divine council and he's railing on the fallen ones. He's railing on the fallen sons of God for the chaos that they have just carried out in the Gentile nations. And then he makes a promise to them. Verse 6, 82:6. He makes this promise. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. And then the psalmist says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. All right, now catch this. Fallen angels used to be immortal, I guess. They were gonna live forever. But because of what they've done, God promises them that they will die, that they will be destroyed, okay? When Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection disarmed, as Colossians 2, the stripping away of the powers, the principalities, of all their authority, he stripped that away with the resurrection. But they were not yet destroyed. God promises them it's going to happen. They know it's coming. They know. They just don't know exactly when. But there is something that points to it that terrifies them. Matthew 24, 14, I believe. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is Jesus talking. Basically, this says this. The Great Commission will succeed, and then it will be the end. The next one is 1 Corinthians 15. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom, that's us, he delivers the church to the Father after destroying every rule, every authority, and every power. So what are they afraid of? What are they terrified of? They're terrified of their own destruction, which means they're terrified of the success of the Great Commission.
That's good.
Which means they're terrified when you share the gospel with somebody.
Amen.
See, this right here, this is real spiritual warfare. This is what it really is. It's not, spiritual warfare isn't really like getting in a shouting match with a demon. All that will happen, but that's not what it's all about. That's not even really the end game. It is leading people to Jesus. It's winning souls for Jesus. And here's the truth. They don't want to lose any of their worshippers, any of the people that they have enslaved and ensnared, they don't want to lose these people to the true king, right? You can ask Rick and Holly and John Block. They saw this firsthand, people enslaved and ensnared worshiping false gods. These guys don't want to lose that, okay? So they're going to do everything that they can to shut your mouth and shut the ears of the people that are hearing the gospel. They don't want to lose any of their worship. They know that they're going to be destroyed. So, here's what's up. They know they're going to die. They know they're going to be destroyed. They know they can't beat Yahweh. They know they're not going to kill the Most High, right? They're not idiots. But this is how they measure victory. We're still here. They can say we're still here. If we can make them kick that gospel can down the road a little bit longer, if we can make them, you know, stop sharing that Great Commission, doing the Great Commission just a little bit longer, we're still here. I used to think that getting in a confrontation with a demon would be like, this is the highlight of my day. No, the highlight of my day should be winning somebody for Jesus.
Yeah.
That should be the highlight of my day.
Amen.
This is what real spiritual warfare is. It is sharing Jesus. It is preaching the gospel. This is the thing that is so destructive to the enemy, because it speeds up their destruction. It speeds up the end of them. And so we have this thing that happens, I think, in churches. I read this years ago. A church starts off, and Life Church is no exception. It starts off as a hospital. You know, dry bones go, and they're set free. They're healed. Life is spoken, prophesied over these dry bones. People are healed up. And then it goes from a hospital to a family. All right, we're healed up now. We know how to follow Jesus. Let's do life together. Let us be a family together. And then it moves from a family to an army. People are still getting healed. There is still the family DNA is still here. It's not changing. But now, like the prophecy says, we're worshiping, we're facing outward.
Yeah.
We are outward facing. And it's time for battle, guys.
Amen. Yeah. Preach it, Stephen.
It's time for battle. And our weapon is the gospel.
Amen. Yep.
And it is, we are called, you are called to leave this building and go do it and share Jesus. And it's not because you're not sharing him out of a spot of like, oh, I have to do the robot thing and be what. It's because there's something right here that's different in you.
Yeah.
Than what used to be different.
Yeah.
And there's people that need that.
Yes.
Because he is altogether lovely.
Yes.
And that needs to be shared. And that needs to be, yeah. People, you've seen it. You've been out there. There is a world that needs the love of Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. The truth, and they need the truth, and you're the people to do it.
Yeah,
I'm the people to do it. Yeah. You know, we're called.
Amen.
We're called to do this. Can everybody stand up, please? I know this is a little bit early. Can everybody do me this favor? Can you put your hands out like you're receiving a gift? All right. Father God, I thank you for this room of champions. I thank you for this room of warriors. I thank you, God, that you've called us because you want us to help. You want, it's our hands, but your reach. And God, I just speak boldness over everybody in this room right now.
Amen.
I confess Holy Spirit peace over everybody in this room right now. God, I thank you that sometimes you call us out to do the thing that's uncomfortable. I thank you, Father, that half the time I feel like I'm in over my head. And I thank you that that's where you want us to be, so that we have to lean on you. And I just, I speak this boldness, and I speak confidence.
Amen.
And I speak freedom over my family in this room. God, I thank you that you are sounding the bell. And that it's time to go.
Amen.
And I thank you, God, that we can't just sit here. We need to ride that wave, Holy Spirit, that you have, that you're on, that you've got us going on. And I just, I confess that over my family and my friends in this room right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I just want to just encourage you to share Jesus.
Yes.
Every single day with every single person you meet. Don't think, well, this is not the right time. That's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not good with words. That's a lie. You know, that's the enemy trying to make you not do it. All right, guys.
Awesome. Very
good. I love you. If you want prayer, please come up to the front. If you want like extra empowerment and extra boldness, come up here and I'll lay hands on you. And you'll walk out of here on...
She's right.
Yeah. If this message has provoked you in any way, and you feel like, yes, I need some more confidence and some more boldness. I want the fear of man dead off of me. Please come up here. And I want to pray for you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.